Welcome to episode 2 of the Who Is She podcast. That's my impression of Nikki. Did you enjoy it?
Who is she? Who is she?
You should do that in the future because mine was fucking awful.
Who is she?
Who is she?
Who is she?
But so just to recap, in the first episode, we met Seagull Killer Nick.
Yep.
We met Craig, who may or may not have previous convictions for kidnapping women.
He does.
He definitely does. And we met Anna, who fancies nuns but makes skateboards on a day-to-day basis.
She's pretty zany.
And then we come into this next episode. Unfortunately, it's not the second episode because that's unavailable. We've gone straight in with a third episode. But I think we can pretty much work out what happened in the second one.
Like, we're relying on this one particular YouTube channel, which is pretty amazing. They've uploaded every single episode of Big Brother, but it's not their fault. This one in particular got claimed by Channel 4. And I wonder why just like every other one seems to be available, but just not episode 2. There must be something incriminating in episode 2 that we're just not allowed to see. It's the episode where they didn't actually tell you this, but originally in Big Brother, in the second episode, they introduced Mr. Hands to the to the house, and him and his horse came in and
man, they got evicted straight away though.
Yeah.
none of this in the house.
Actually, I just realized this podcast is quite it's quite timely, isn't it? Because it's like we're talking about a group of people who are stuck in their houses. Well, they're stuck in a house together. They're going mad in there slowly, and I think that kind of resonates with what's going on in the world, doesn't it?
Yeah, apart from we've got no hope of eviction. We're just in this now forever.
Everyone's a loser with coronavirus. Yeah.
And you have to stay in for another 6 months.
I think it would be all right if we actually had a Big Brother character to speak to. We had our own diary room that I'd be able to sort of like cope, I think.
I reckon you're the kind of person who's created a little space in your cupboard.
So yeah, but I don't think we need episode 2. I think, like you said, we can kind of figure out, we can guess what happened.
Well, they gave a few little indications of what happened. For example, they did the first task in the episode 1 was to create sort of clay crockery, which they managed to fail that task.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine the reason why is because they used all the clay to make naked murals of Nicola and Craig's sort of genitals, and also make a giant clay penis.
Of course. To the, But so what do you think happened in episode 2?
There was another thing. Oh, yeah. So they had to do their first shopping list.
Right.
And because they failed the clay task, they lost 20% of their budget.
I wasn't aware that there was like this gambling element to Big Brother. Did they keep that throughout all of it?
I think so, yeah. I think that's because if you want to, you can gamble 100%. And I guess then you get double the amount of shopping in the next challenge.
What do you have to gamble against? What is it about doing the task, is it?
Yeah, so if you complete the task, then you get the extra percentage on top of the shopping budget.
Oh, okay.
And if you lose the task, you just minus it off. So because they lost the clay task, they now have only 80% of their budget to work with, which they spent 2/3 on alcohol and forgot to buy any sort of toiletries.
But what I've learned from watching today's one is that Big Brother, at least in the first series, was much nicer than it seems to be now. Like the kind of character of Big Brother is quite a sort of forgiving god, isn't it? Like maybe they just assumed that Big Brother would supply them with toilet paper. I mean, they have supplied them with vegetarian options.
I think they are trying to imply that they're gonna be mean later on, but they're still being nice. For example, like do you know when it like gives you, when it goes to the advert break and it gives you like a teaser?
Yeah.
And it's so a lot of the teasers in this one were like, coming up, Darren cries. I was like, fuck's sake, he's only been in there for fucking 7 days and he's crying already.
Give the people what they want. That's why I came for this.
But it turns out they were just playing a nice video of his kid's first birthday, which he missed for international fame. I just wanted to put that out there. Darren from Big Brother 1 missed his daughter's first birthday for a shot at international fame. Do you know who he is? No, you don't.
Hey, I like Darren. I realised in this episode that I quite like him. He showed his human side. Not that he didn't before, but like he cried, and when you cry, that makes, I just like it when people cry.
And another thing about Darren as well is he led a sort of Rastafari chant in the garden. They were doing some sort of Pilates or some sort of exercise in the garden, and he just started getting everyone to shout, "Ya Rastafari!"
Well, I like the fact that you're now doing it. You have to remember that this was like 20 years ago. It's not okay anymore, Riggs. You're not in what happens in Big Brother House stays in Big Brother House. There's different laws, there's different politics in there.
You can sort of tell how long ago it was as well, because they were like having a real like serious discussion over like getting like more than one tattoo.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realise that either. I didn't realise that Big Brother like gave them conversation starters.
Each of the house members they got 4 days to memorise the answers to everyone's questions.
Can I be honest with you? I find this element of Big Brother really boring. Like, I just don't care at all about any of these tasks. Like, I don't care about the drama in it. Like, I just don't care about it. I would rather that they just, like, rather than having some kind of challenge like that, I would rather they just, like, spread a rumour or something, or dropped a fucking tiger into the house or something.
Maybe the task and the actual, like, you know, it isn't that interesting, but the arguments about the budget, because a lot of the tasks, like their budget relies heavily on completing the task, and then they've got to like work out their shopping budget. And Sada is she's the only vegetarian in the house.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So she wanted some tofu as part of the shopping list, and they were like, no. No, not. We all hate tofu. You're not having tofu. Yeah. All she wanted was one block of vegetarian food. And they're like, nah, we've got honey, we've got syrup, we've got 17 different kinds of sugar, all sourced from different parts of the world, but you cannot have one block of tofu.
I need maple syrup and I need natural syrup. They're very distinct, different things.
I have to sweeten me breakfast oats. That's what one of them was like. You can't be eating just tasteless oats.
You do have to remember that this is 20 years ago, and like they don't even know what tofu is, to be honest. They call it tofu. Yeah. I thought they were talking about toffee for about 10 minutes.
Oh, what, those little sweets that you used to get from primary school?
Yeah, who's put toffos on it? I used to hate them. They're horrible. They're not nice, but sweet.
I'd rather eat a pack of toffos than a pack of tofu. I'll tell you that right now.
I like tofu.
Yeah, of course you do, because you've got nothing else to eat. You're Sada. you're Sada in the house. Just give me my tofu.
I am Sada. I think the problem with Sada is she came in too abrasive on it. If it's 20 years ago, you need to understand that as a vegetarian, you are a proper, like, outcast. Like, you can't just be coming in strong with, I'm having tofu. It's not going to happen. You're going to get, like, bloody locked up.
Of course Sada is the one who wants the tofu. Do you know what I mean? She's also the one who started doing tarot readings, like personal tarot readings in the bedroom.
She gives us a bad name, Sada.
Or what, people who are into mysticism?
Yeah, I wonder what she's up to now.
Well, I think she might be dead.
They're all dead. What I was wondering most about this episode, I was thinking, like, who is the person who decides ultimately which clips from the 24 hours or whatever get put in and which ones don't into the highlight reel? Because this episode opens with, you know, Fleabag. What's her name? Fleabag.
Anna.
Yeah. It opens with her. This is the start of the episode. She goes, I dreamt I was the stylist to the Queen Mother last night.
And then Caroline was like, oh, what did you dress her in?
I kept trying to dress her, but she wasn't having it. What kind of, not only is that the most boring dream I've ever heard in my life, who opens a program with, this is what I dreamt last night?
She just wanted something blue.
Of course she did. At least her dream was accurate.
Sada went straight into, she's like one of the main characters of this episode that we watched. Like, she's just going in there, just like trying to just create this divide. She thinks all of the men hate her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason why, she didn't initially say the reason why, but eventually she goes, I think it's because I'm too attractive. I think it's because I'm too attractive for them.
Yeah. I like it when she was laying on the grass and she's going, They all fancy me. Every single one of them has shown me that they fancy. I would love to have that confidence for a day. I mean, she might be right, but imagine having being so confident as to say that. It's amazing.
Maybe you need more tofu and tarot cards in your life.
Maybe I do. I've got quite a lot of tofu. I own a deck of tarot cards.
She just walks in with the tarot cards under one arm, Tofu in the other, just like, the boys can't handle me! I'm a sexual terrorist!
I'm a sexual terrorist. Hey, Riggs, have you ever had a tarot reading?
I've had the beginnings of loads of them, but they never we never seem to end up, like, finishing them off.
Because you live in Brighton, so you must have had a few.
Yeah, I've had people be like, look at this card. It's always death. It's always the fucking Grim Reaper. It just pops out.
Actually, it doesn't mean death.
But she gave the Irish guy the tarot reading. I can't remember what it's called. Tom, something like that. I think it's called Tom.
Yeah, I think he is called Tom.
He was just amazed by it. He was just like, oh my God. Like, there's just no... I've never even heard. There's just no opportunity to have any sort of thing like this happen where I'm from.
Ireland. It's about Ireland. Yeah. We've got leprechauns, but I've never heard of any of this.
Ireland is probably one of the most mystical isles in the whole world.
And also, like, I like how quickly he was ready to just, like, completely fob off Jesus after, like, discovering tarot. He's like, you're only allowed Jesus in Ireland, but I've never heard of this tarot thing.
I used to have a mate called Tarot.
Wow.
As a first name. Do you think you ever heard of that before?
Did it have a T on the end, or was it like T-A-R-O?
T-A-R-O-T. Tarot.
Whoa, no, I've never heard of that. It's quite a cool name, to be honest.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I accidentally hurt his arm once, and his girlfriend was really mad at me for about 3 years.
Well, how did you do that?
Well, I used to do, and I'm not bragging, all right? And you bought it, you asked me, all right? But yeah, I used to do judo when I was a kid.
Oh, my God.
And I was all right at it. I was part of the Northern Ireland national team.
I was part of the Northern Ireland judo force.
It's about as big as County Durham, but I'll take it. I'll take it.
Did you have a belt?
I was a blue belt.
What does that mean?
So you can only get to, like, a blue belt before you're 16, and then after that you can go on to brown, then black. So I was the highest you could get to as a youth.
Right, okay.
But anyway, I was at this party, and, like, I think we were only about 14 or 15 or something. This guy found out that I used to do judo, like, or whatever. And he was like, oh, do a throw on me. Like, I was like, I don't want to. And I just kept going for ages and ages. He kept being like, just throw me! Throw me! Throw me over your shoulder! And then eventually I did it, but I did it right next to his, like, sort of, like, he had an open fire. So he had this big fucking stone sort of hearth. And basically I smashed his shoulder off this hearth by accident. And he ended up having to go to hospital. But anyway, his girlfriend fucking stormed in about 3 hours later and was like, who is Riggs? And I was like, shit! So I threw her over my shoulder onto the hearth.
What's a hearth?
I don't know, it's like the bit in front of a fire.
Okay, it must be a Northern Ireland thing.
Have you never stoked a fire before, Jen?
I actually haven't, no. I've prodded a bonfire.
With, like, one of your limbs, or?
No, with a stick. I've definitely done that. I've played with fire.
You need to get yourself out into the countryside a little bit more. Get yourself an auger or something.
I used to burn things in my room. Does that count?
I'm sure you fucking did.
Come on, you must have done that. Did you do that?
In my room.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I used to do. I don't try this at home, kids, but I used to have an obsession where I would get a candle, like a little tea candle, and I would get a pencil, and I would light the candle, and then I would wrap the end of a pencil in tissue, and then I would dip the tissue in the wax, and then let it dry, and then I would light the wax on the end of the pencil. And because of the combination of the wax and the tissue paper, it would burn, but, like, it would burn like a torch. So you could, like, throw it around and it wouldn't go out. You could, like, juggle it.
Like, made your own napalm in your fucking bedroom.
Yeah, and I remember I would, like, try and juggle the fire pencils. I'll tell you one thing I also did. I used to had, like, I had a Lego, like, a box of Lego, and one of the Legos was a spear, like a little Lego spear, and I stuck the whole spear up my nose.
It was at that point that we realized that Jen would be a difficult child.
Yeah, probably.
When I lived in Lansing, right, do you know when you get house inspections, like people, like the letting agent come around and look at your house?
Yeah.
So I was like, why do you have to come around to, like, adult people's houses and like sort of do an inspection? And he was like, you'd be surprised about how many people in Lansing make little fires in the corner of their living rooms.
What?
That's what he said.
You'd be surprised how many.
Yeah.
It's a daily struggle.
People are just setting little fires. I mean, we just improvised an open fire underneath this TV cabinet.
That's the fire corner.
Just toasting marshmallows with a grandparent in that.
So this episode was unusual because it was the first one where they had the psychologists in, or as I like to call them, the old cunt. Just this old guy who's just like, just the most base, like, psychologist I've ever heard in my life. Basically, he said, he was like, yeah, boys and girls, they're different.
They're literally just saying what we've watched.
I don't know if you've noticed, but the boys, they like to hang out with each other.
Who are these psychologists? Like, do you reckon they phoned up, like, the psychologist union or the psychologist headquarters or whatever? And they were like, oh, we're starting this new show on Channel 4. It's called Big Brother. And we need a couple of psychologists. And they just basically chose, like, the word, like, just some fucking apprentice psychologist and sent them down there. Just you cover that. Do you know what I mean? You get down
Well, I think
there.
With Channel 4's record, it could have just been anyone claiming to be a psychologist. I don't think they really...
I've got a theory about the psychologists anyway. Do you know how Nick's, like, twice the size of everyone else in the house?
Yeah.
I reckon it's them two psychologists in a big coat.
You think Nick's is one of those, like, cartoon drawings of, like, two kids trying to get into the cinema? And, he's in there just to kind of test everybody.
Is he like a legitimate, just normal person? Because he, from day one, is like in there just trying to fuck shit up. Nick is a fucking psycho, though. Do you know what I mean? He stands like he's a fucking US Marine.
He is a bit of a psychopath. He gets very close to people, and he's very shameless in his treachery. But do you know what? I like him because you need people like that for Big Brother to work, don't you? It's amazing how much foresight he had. Like, he's, like, fresh off the boat. Like, he goes... He's one of the first people to go into Big Brother, and yet he just knows how it works already.
Yeah, he knows a bit too much.
Yeah. Like, I bet he's watched the Dutch one.
In his back pocket, he's just got a copy of The Catcher in the Rye.
Yeah.
You can tell, like, Nick's playing a game as well, because he's trying to put up this front. Like, as I say, he stands like a Marine. He's, like, being very, like, alpha male towards everyone. Like, when they were trying to work out for this challenge who was their, like, inspirational famous person that, like, for them, he chose Winston Churchill, and I imagine he chose it because, like, he's a big figurehead of, like, you know, I guess, like, winning a war and shit, being a man or whatever. And then they asked him why, and he just went, oh, I just think he's a bit clever.
He's just dead clever, isn't he?
He just knows loads of stuff, doesn't he? Churchill.
Yeah, but Nick is also, like, he's posh, isn't he? Like, he's like a posh boy.
I mean, he did go to school with Prince Andrew.
No, he didn't.
That's what he said, and that was the thing that was
no,
true.
No, he didn't. It wasn't Prince Andrew.
I will say this as a caveat. I just finished the Epstein documentary, so that's probably why I'm thinking about Prince Andrew.
What did you think of it?
I think he's guilty.
Well, obviously, that's not... That's not the conspiracy, is it?
So what do I think of what? What do I think of the documentary?
Yeah, what's your hot take?
All I kept thinking, right, is they just put the egg-shaped penis bit in too early. Because after you hear that, that's all I want to see.
It's one of my favourite moments.
Epstein's like a fucking Kinder Surprise.
Other than the Prince Andrew interview, which I, you know, the channel, was that Channel 4? The Prince Andrew expose, like, that was the highlight of my last year. But this, that egg-shaped penis clip is hilarious to me. What I loved about this documentary is, like, you get to see a lot more footage of Epstein, like, actually speaking. And because it's really hard to find that kind of stuff. He's quite an elusive character. Do you want to know what happened to Nasty Nick post Big Brother? I've got it up in front of me. Do you want the scoop on him?
Is it going to change my opinion of him now?
I won't give you everything. I'll just tell you one thing then.
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay.
Oh no, it's boring.
And now he's got a seagull sanctuary and he's turned his life around.
He lives in Sydney, Australia now.
Probably trying to get on Australian Big Brother.
Probably, yeah.
If he was on Australian Big Brother, everyone would have chose shoot a seagull when he did that thing before.
Welcome to Big Brother. Unfortunately, there's not enough money on your shopping list for any VB, you dog cunt.
Big Brother doesn't even know what fucking tofu is, you cunt.
Nick, you pommy cunt, come to the diary room now.
Oh yeah, one thing about Nick which made me laugh in this episode. One of the questions, he's talking to Craig, one of the questions is, what's your biggest fear? And Nick goes, is your biggest fear disability? And then he's like, is your biggest fear death? And Craig's just like, fucking spiders.
Fucking Aiden. Nick was trying to be, like, really existential. He's like, I think your biggest fear is commitment. I think your biggest fear might be... Might be watching a loved one die of a rare illness, and he's just like, no, it's fucking spiders.
He was saying, is Craig worried about becoming disabled and then not being able to be so athletic in the future?
He's just trying to get in everyone's head, isn't he? He's like, you ever thought about that? You think you're athletic? You ever thought about maybe if your legs fell off?
And then the psychologist was like, you can tell when people are trying to have a power struggle because they start shaking their limbs about. And then it cuts to Melanie and Nick just talking to each other, and they're both just fucking vibrating and just flailing their arms and legs about. Just...
Maybe the next a real explanation for that could be because they like lost all their shopping list from last week. Maybe they've all just got like scurvy. And they're all shaking.
They've all got fucking gout.
I liked the segment where Darren had the phobia of the chicken. I love the narration. It's like, Darren has a phobia of chickens. Mel is helping him overcome that phobia.
I think that that's a lie, man, because have you got a phobia or anything?
No, I haven't. Not like a legit phobia. Like I've got like I'm scared of heights or whatever. But to be honest with you, I don't consider it a phobia if it's got like just cause, you know.
Well, I've got a phobia, and it's not disability or death, but it is fucking spiders. It wouldn't just be like Riggs has got a phobia of spiders, and then 3 seconds later, I'm picking up a spider and then singing a song about how I've just picked up a spider. I've just picked up a spider. Because that's what Darren did. He went, I've got a phobia of chickens, and he just chucked a chicken in the next scene and then just ran around the garden singing a song about it.
Just to say, that chuck that he did of the chicken at the end, that would not go down well today. I mean, that was... It was quite far away from that pen when he chucked that chicken.
I don't think there's many chicken activists.
Are you joking? There's chicken activists all over the place.
Maybe in your fucking taro and tofu world, there's chicken activists anywhere, but I've not met any.
Tell me about your arachnophobia. How bad is it?
My mate's mum tried to do TFT on me once. Do you know what
that is? TFT?
Touch feel therapy.
That sounds made up.
She's got a certificate.
Is that the opposite of Reiki?
She's got a certificate.
Oh, sorry. You can't print them off.
But it's basically, I sat down in the kitchen and she's called Sharon. Every good...
Of course she is.
And like, so she touches your pressure points and she gets you to like...
She touches your precious points.
show me on this spider where Sharon touched you.
Which leg was it?
But I can't even really remember the process of it, but it lasted a little while, like maybe 20 minutes. Of, like, I guess she was like just talking about spiders. I got me to think about spiders while she touched me in my pressure points.
Did it work? Did it help?
Well, I felt good about it. I was like, I'm fucking well up for touching a spider right now, holding a spider. But they live in this old fucking house, the kind of house that's got an open fire and an aga, not the kind of house that you're used to where people just set fires in the fucking corners of their living rooms.
Sure.
but they found quite a large spider quite quickly, but as soon as they brought it in, the spell was broken and I fucking didn't go anywhere near it. I like, if I see a spider, I'm not like gonna run out of the room screaming, but I will fucking keep an eye on it. Do you know what I mean?
I found a massive spider the other day. Like, I was laying in my bed and I had the lights off, actually it was dark, and I think my primitive evolutionary nature kind of kicked in. I could sense it on the wall next to me, and I turned the light on, and there it was, this massive spider.
Oh, how big?
Pretty big, like big enough to alarm me and make me get out of bed. And what scared me the most is that it had come up from the side of the mattress. So it, you know, previous... I think when you see a spider, it's not the fact that there's a spider necessarily that's the scary thing. It's the idea that for the longest time you realise that you've gone without knowing that there was a spider, and now it's revealed itself, and that's scarier. It's like, God, where have you been hiding this whole time? But I cupped it. I glassed it.
You cucked it?
No. Yeah, I cucked it. I fucked its boyfriend in front of it. Sorry, there's just a really weird noise outside my window. It sounds like a
train.
Can you hear that? I live nowhere near a train.
I'll be down the train tracks. I'm just doing a Big Brother podcast.
It's a ghost train. Anyway, I don't particularly like spiders either, to be honest with you, but I wouldn't call it like a phobia. Like, I could touch one.
I will say this. I told a few people about our Big Brother podcast.
Yeah.
And they all remembered Anna. Everyone I spoke to remembered Anna from, like, the past.
Really?
Yeah.
What, Fleabag?
Fleabag, yeah. And I think that one of the people I spoke to about it is a lesbian. So, like, I think because Anna is also the one in the house who is a lesbian, maybe it's because...
She's an icon. She's a lesbian icon.
Yeah, maybe there wasn't a lot of that on TV then.
To be fair, she is like a... She seemed... Well, I know we're only on, like, the third episode, but she does seem pretty chill. She's quite a likeable character. She, you know, she's quite quiet, but she's not done anything egregious. She's not a sexual terrorist or anything.
Look, she thinks about the royal family in a subconscious mind.
Yeah, but she thinks about the Queen Mother, who is arguably the best of the royal family.
I wasn't saying that like it was a bad thing. I was saying that it was like a twee, it was like a harmless thing. You were like, yeah, but she's also a good person.
Lesbians love the royal family anyway. That's known, isn't it?
Do they?
Yeah, those lesbian royalist Tories. They'll go to Oxford and Cambridge and they do the boat race and they love the Queen.
What a fucking niche group to attack on a Big Brother podcast.
Honestly,
lesbian royalist Tories.
Do I stand by it? All lesbians are Tories. There you go.
Well, I'm not one to argue with that. I'm just going to let you I'm just going to let you take the brunt of that one.
I've got a lot of lesbian friends, actually.
So it turns out, right, one of the talking points which we might have missed in the second episode is Caroline is fucking an absolute fiend for drinking tea. And as a northern man who is currently drinking tea out of a Pyrex gravy jug right now, I fully support Caroline and all of her endeavours, and I hope she wins Big Brother 1.
Will there ever be a day when you don't remind people that you drink tea out of a fucking Pyrex gravy mug? Like, no one cares. It doesn't make you more northern, you know. It's not like... I feel like that's one of your flexes, because it's like... You live in the South and you feel self-conscious about the fact that you are a Southerner now, despite the fact that you've got Northern roots, and you're just grasping onto, like, trying to remain Northern. It's sad, is what I'm saying.
All I'm saying is, no, it's more, the only reason I mentioned the jug is just because it's a pint. Do you know what I mean? It's just a lot. I'm just, what, and it was relevant to what I'm saying now, is that I'm saying I like Caroline. She drinks a lot of tea. I'm drinking a lot of tea. Here's the example. I'm drinking a large amount of tea right now.
You must need to wee all the time.
Oh yeah, my bowels are fucking havoc, mate.
It's diuretic, isn't it?
Yeah, man. I don't know what
that
means.
What's your brand of tea? What tea do you
have? I'm on the, right, so this is how you can tell that I've lived in the South for long, and it's gonna make my whole argument about me just fall down completely. But I'm drinking Tetley's decaf.
That's tragic.
Fucking terrible.
I drink Yorkshire tea.
Yeah, well, I would have. I used to, man, but like I started getting all these fucking facial fucking deformities and that blemishes and things just started growing on my face, and then I stopped drinking caffeine, and it went away within a day.
Oh, so what you're saying is that I'm more northern than you?
No, I didn't say that.
I didn't even
slightly imply that. You just went, so what you're saying is, I just said your own thing that was nothing to do with, I could do that about anything. So what you're saying, Jen, is I'm the world's greatest surfboarder.
No one's saying that.
Do you know what I mean? It's irrelevant. I'm not saying anything about you. I'm talking about how northern I am.
No, it does make sense because look, drinking tea is like considered, even though it's a universal thing that literally everyone...
You don't even know what a hearth is!
Look, shut up. Look, drinking tea is like, for some reason, the North values drinking tea as like it's theirs or something, even though we've been drinking tea forever. And also...
Colonialism.
And I was going to get on to colonialism and that. But the point is that you don't even drink flipping Yorkshire tea. You don't even drink caffeine tea. You're not North. You've changed.
Before we talk about colonialism, can I just say that I really, really like Winston Churchill, just because I think he's really, really clever.
Is he? Is he dead clever?
He's just so clever.
Oh, man. The way he, like, systematically... Oh, I won't go into it. There's no time.
The way he systematically... Ah, it's boring, isn't it? Genocide.
He's clever. Let's keep it at that. But yeah, that whole teabag... thing was pretty dramatic in the house, wasn't it? Because she drank all the tea bags, and then there was a slight conversation about the fact that she's drank all her tea bags. I tell you what I like about this episode is like it's been a week, hasn't it? It's like 7-8 days or whatever. And you can see that everybody just hates each other already. Especially Craig. Craig really, really, really hates Sada.
That's why he went down that whole fucking I need syrup for my oats thing.
Yeah, every time she speaks, he can't bear it.
Fucking hell, mate. Fucking Sada.
Here she
fucking
goes.
Sada. Fucking doing a tarot reading with fucking Irish Tom in the fucking bedroom and that. always spending all our syrup budget on fucking tofu.
On tofu.
Tofu sounds like a fucking new age scouse wife life name, I think, for the child. Chantel, fucking little baby tofu. Tofu.
So as Big Brother set a discussion topic of tattoos, I feel like we should talk about tattoos, Riggs.
Okay.
If you were going to get... You don't have any, do you?
I got one.
Oh, yeah, you do. tell everyone about your tattoo.
Oh my god, have you just set this up so I could talk about my fucking shit tattoo?
Oh no, I mean, I had forgotten that you had it.
I got an anarchy symbol on my wrist when I was 17.
Wow.
You fucking knew that, you absolute bell end. You're being nasty Nick right now. You're fucking nasty nicking me.
I am nasty nicking you, yeah.
After this, you're gonna go and fucking beat some fucking sea creatures to death.
Sea creatures?
I don't know, I didn't want to say seagulls again.
But okay, so tell me what. So you got it when you were 17. How did you get it?
I was on holiday in Greece. Greece or Turkey.
Yeah.
And I know that they're very, I know that they don't really like each other, like, historically, but is that Greece and Turkey? Yeah, they always fight over Cyprus, don't they?
Oh, I don't know where I was. I was in Israel or Palestine or one of those places. I can't remember what it was called.
I was either in North or South Korea.
I don't know what side of island I was in. Who cares?
Protestant, Catholic.
It's all the same, isn't it?
Have you ever been on holiday with someone that you just don't get on with?
Yeah, I have.
Have you?
They're called my family. Who were you on holiday with?
It was an ex-girlfriend, but I went on holiday with her, and we just spent, it was kind of a toxic relationship. We just spent the whole time drunk. So we were drunk in the morning, we had drinks for breakfast, and we saw the tattoo parlor, which was in like a basement, and we went down there, and we both decided to get tattooed. They were quite cheap, which is a bad sign as well. I think it was about €6.
Oh my god, it does tend to be a bad sign, yeah. The only good tattoos are either really expensive or they're free. Like, if they're free, that's okay. But cheap...
Yeah, if it's just, like, your mate and it's like, oh, it's got a good story behind it.
Yeah, but cheap, no. You have to avoid.
So I picked one out. I picked an anarchy symbol because I was a young, you know, a kid into thrash metal. Do you know what I mean? Anarchy was my middle name. I mean, yeah. my middle name's actually Charles. But, you know, right. Charles, anarchy, what's the difference?
So your name was Riggs Anarchy Regan.
David Charles Anarchy Regan, yeah.
Char.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of like a good like word, but it didn't work. But anyway, go on, continue.
So she got a like a flower in she got like a stem with like some fucking what looked like already dying flowers.
Yeah.
Coming off it in a cleavage.
What, just like poking out?
No, but just like right down the cleavage. Yeah, but so she got hers done, and this is also a bad sign as well, but hers is off center.
Yeah.
And that's not what she asked for.
No.
You don't seem right. Imagine someone tattooing something on your fucking cleavage, and it's not even in the middle.
So where? So it's like on one side, like over the heart or something.
No, but it's not even. No, it's like supposed to be in the middle, but he's just got it. He's done it wrong.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh,
get what you pay for.
Well, that's it. And when he did mine, and this is relevant to what we're talking about before, a fucking giant Greek or Turkish spider, like a proper continental spider. This spider had a fucking beret on, a mustache, you know what I mean? It was eating a fucking melon breakfast, do you know what I mean? And it came out, and I couldn't remember anything else on a continental breakfast then. Bit of ham and a bit of melon on a stick. Yeah, and it came fucking crawling out. But this fucking guy who's doing my tattoo can't speak any English. So I don't know how to tell him that there's a giant spider and that I fucking don't like spiders. And it's fucking crawling slowly towards us. Across the fucking room. He's doing my tattoo. I don't want to fucking move because I don't want the tattoo to come out fucking shit. But anyway, I'm fucking shaking and that. Got fucking arachnophobia. Anyway, he finishes the tattoo, writes down this cream on a bit of paper, gives it to us, and then we have to go off to this fucking chemist and get this cream. But then over the next couple of days, the tattoo just fucking peeled off.
But you've still got some of it.
It just peeled away. And I remember I just had my close friends on Facebook and I asked them on there and they all were like, oh, when you get a tattoo, the top layers do tend to come off. You just got to keep using the cream. But then it just kept coming off loads. And now I've just got a fucking smudge. And for years, my dad thought it was a fucking nightclub stamp. Well, he asked me about fucking 3 years after I got it done. He was like, are you ever going to wash that nightclub stamp off? And I was like, I've had this for fucking 3 years, Dad.
We've got such a dashy child.
I know. He just really likes that time at Oceania. Do you know what I mean?
Is it on your hand?
It's on my left wrist.
Oh, it's on your wrist.
On the inside of my wrist, yeah. So that I can... So people think I'm a normal person, but then, you know, if I fucking... You know, if they get to know me, do you know what I mean? Anarchist.
Why don't you get something tattooed over it?
Because why? I don't care enough.
Oh, can I tell you? I was talking to Jade today. You know, there's been like a big... I don't know if you noticed, but this morning, J.K. Rowling came out on the Twitter saying things about trans people and that. She's like a Graham Linehan supporter and that. And
no, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so J.K. Rowling is hashtag cancelled. And Jade posted up that she's got a Harry Potter tattoo and that she doesn't know what to do about it.
All of the Harry Potter characters sound like Tories, I think.
I think, yeah, they are.
Rupert Grint and Harry Potter. Do you know what I mean? They all sound like your local Conservative MP.
Flipping Dumbledore and that.
Hermione. No one's called Hermione anymore.
Hermione.
She's got a name that sounds like her and fucking Ghislaine Maxwell.
Oh, Ghislaine Maxwell. Is that... I can never remember... I can never pronounce
Ghislaine.
It. Ghislaine. Ghislaine. It's Ghislaine, isn't it?
She sounds like she's come from the fucking bottom of the Mariana Trench.
A Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yeah.
the thorny toothed Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yeah, she's got one of those fucking things, one of those lures. You know, one of them lures that they have on top of their head that flashes a little light.
The anglerfish.
Yeah, like the anglerfish.
Do you know what? Ghislaine, they need to find her, don't they?
Yeah, of course they fucking do.
That's my hot take of the day. They should find that woman, because...
They should find and catch criminals. That's what you're
saying. I don't know. I think they should try and find Ghislaine. Because the thing is, Epstein, he's dead now. So they can't do anything about that. But Ghislaine was his right-hand woman. So she needs to get scooped up. So if you're listening, the authorities...
Look for her.
She's out there somewhere. I'm always trying... I think she's like... The one place where people they don't look is, you know, have you seen The Masked Singer, UK?
In their own hearts.
In their own hearts. She might be she might be in their own hearts, yeah.
You have to look inside yourself for Ghislaine Maxwell.
There's people at the moment who are, like, camping outside her house.
Like she's a brand new iPhone.
She is, yeah. They're camping outside of her townhouse. You know when people say townhouse? Is that just, like, a house that's in the city?
Yeah, but it's, like, proper in the centre and it's normally, like, quite a nice, like, three-story, got a bit of fucking Tudor.
Yeah, that's what she's got.
A lot of little crevices to hide evidence. That's a townhouse.
Yeah, she's got banisters, she's got an upstairs.
Prince Andrew's never been up there.
He's never been up there. He doesn't sweat, so.
No sweat, that's his motto, no sweat.
I like it. Hey, I really want to go to that Pizza Express in Woking, don't you?
No, I
really want to. I feel like it would be such a like a fun sort of day out. Like that'd be a good first date, wouldn't it?
They probably got his picture on the wall, but he sent it after that interview came out. Put this up. So say that bit of famous guests. Oh, they've had Anthony Worrell Thompson and just inexplicably Prince Andrew.
Anthony Worrell Thompson.
He was the most low-key celebrity I could think of that might have gone to Woking Pizza Express.
I saw Katie Price once in Donatello's, yeah.
Oh, cool.
That's exciting, huh?
Is that the end of the story?
Yeah, there's not really much else to say. You know, I respected her privacy. I didn't go over there.
We were like, Jordan! Fucking love you, Jordan!
Jordan, I'm a sexual terrorist too.
The evictions are coming up. They're all starting to talk about who's going to get voted out. If you were in the house, sir, who are you voting out?
Probably Tom, because he's just made no impact, has he?
Well, at least he's going to go back home to Ireland with the knowledge of tarot and Reiki.
I'm not like Sarah's biggest fan or anything, but I think she is she's conflict, isn't she?
Yeah, she's interesting enough to have around.
Yeah, and she's not, I feel sorry for her a little bit because it does feel like everyone is gonna gang up on her. Yeah, I would say Tom because he's boring. No offense, Tom. You're boring.
I'm gonna go Darren because in the first week of Big Brother, he missed his daughter's first birthday.
You're daft. Darren is an angel. I've written that down. I've written down Darren is an angel. I really warmed to him in this episode. I really like him.
Yeah, but hear me out. Because he was like, because he did a little heartfelt message in the diary room where he kept being like, I'll see you in a bit, Pika. Pika, I'll see you in a bit. And he said Pika so often, he forgot who was Pika and who was Darren.
I know.
At one point he was like, it's your dad, Pika, Darren. I'm Darren, you're Pika.
He's been in there a week.
Yeah, but what I mean is he was like, I'll get you a present when I'm out. And I'm like, Darren, you've been in there for a week. You could have arranged the birthday party before you fucking went in.
His kid's only 1 year old. You don't have to celebrate a 1 year old's birthday, surely.
Of course you do. So I want Darren to be kicked out just so that. So he's just missed a real big milestone in his daughter's life and gained just absolutely nothing from it.
That's cruel. That's horrible. But hold on a minute. So you've got kids. Did you celebrate their first birthdays?
Of course I celebrated their first birthday.
But I don't mean like you can be like, yay, happy birthday, blah blah blah, but what, did you do something for it?
Look, I didn't hire a bouncy castle and then chuck my not even toddler daughter onto a fucking bouncy castle, let her just fucking fly around like she's back in the womb again.
What did you do then?
We hired a clown.
No you didn't.
No, of course we didn't.
The first
birthday is for the parents. It's an extension of like, oh, what stuff haven't you got for a baby? And then people get you that stuff. It's like, oh, look, the parents have survived 1 year with a child. It's more for the parents than it is for the baby. But of course you celebrate it.
So what, you did a party?
But we definitely did something. Of course we did.
You should only really start celebrating kids' birthdays when they're like 12, really.
You're not ready to have kids. Look, I've still got the little crocodile clip that held their umbilical cords.
Throw that shit away.
No, man, you got to keep it for sentimental value.
No.
When she gets married, I'm going to hand the ring over in with her umbilical crocodile clip.
That's nasty. Have you still got the umbilical cord in the freezer?
No, man, but they did offer us the placenta.
That's dirt. That is dirt.
They were like, child or placenta? Which one do you want? And we were like, oh, the placenta is tempting, but we're gonna take the child home.
Hey, would you eat it?
No, but that's why they offered it to us.
Yeah, because apparently if the mother eats it, she can regain some of her powers back in it.
Yeah, much in the same way that if a sheep eats its own haggis, it becomes like a super sheep.
It becomes Dolly the sheep.
Oh, Dolly's been on the haggis again.
Kids are weird, man. Kids are crazy. They say the darndest things, don't they?
Well, I would eat the placenta. We didn't eat the placenta because we live in a studio flat and no one wants the smell of cooking placenta in the around your fucking studio flat.
You couldn't pay me enough to eat placenta. I'll never eat that.
Well, like, what about placenta substitute?
Yeah, I'd eat like a nice tofu placenta for definite.
I don't know what a placenta substitute would be. Maybe it's like the shell on the outside of a nut. Just eat that.
The shell. On the outside of it.
Because that's what a placenta is, isn't it? It's a placenta is a uterine sac. Is uterine the right word?
Uterine. I think it's the yeah.
Yeah. I make them sound like a cult, don't I? The uterians are coming.
we're the uterians. Are you going to have any more tattoos then?
I'm not bothered by them. I got it at a time that I was trying to be like, I was like, I'd be cool if I got a tattoo, but nah, I just don't give a fuck. Like if there was something that like I impulsively was like, oh, I have to get that tattooed, then I would get it tattooed, but I'm just not bothered.
So you've not had anything like that?
Oh, no, I will. I'm going to get the Coca-Cola symbol on my forehead.
Are you?
I just decided then. Yeah.
I used to know someone who had the Dr. Pepper logo tattooed on their like leg, on their lower leg.
I heard once that big companies were paying people to get their logos tattooed on them.
Where did you hear that?
I don't know. On the streets.
People do that shit for free, though. People love that.
Well, in fact, they pay for it, don't they?
Yeah. What's the worst tattoo you've ever seen?
The worst tattoo I've ever seen?
Yeah.
What, in person?
Doesn't have to be.
My friend Aaron used to go out with a tattoo artist. She was freelance, which means that she was good enough to not be hired by any tattoo studios.
Yeah.
And she did like half a woman who, to be honest, looks like a sort of 2D Egyptian hieroglyphic, but I don't think she was intended to be.
Yeah.
But then they broke up when she was half done.
I like that.
She's not coming around to finish that off, do you know what I mean? I'm coming to collect my stuff and finish off those legs.
Where's her professional integrity?
Yeah, well, exactly. But she, so he's got half a fucking woman done by a woman that he hates on his arm, badly.
Sounds like a metaphor to me.
Yeah. What about you? Are you going to get a tattoo?
No. I had that phase where I wanted one, but I could never decide what I wanted. And a lot of my friends when I was growing up got tattoos and they got them really quickly. I had a friend who got a full whale on their back.
As a full size?
Yeah. No, but it was like a Moby Dick tattoo, and it was like a full back tattoo, and it was their first tattoo.
Or was it that whole Captain Ahab stabbing fucking Moby Dick scene?
It was something like that, yeah. I think it was inspired by some kind of music thing, but it was, yeah, it was...
Who on earth is getting a full piece of Renaissance art on their back as a first tattoo?
It looked good, but I was always very surprised that you would get that amount of tattoo for your first tattoo, and seeing how much pain that they were in and how much discomfort kind of put me off having a tattoo. I can't think of anything that I care enough about to get tattooed. Although, what about the Big Brother eye? I might get that.
Yeah?
Yeah. Where should I get it?
On your own eyes.
On my own eyes. Yeah. If anyone thinks I should get a tattoo of the Big Brother eye, write in and I will get it done.
Really? You're gonna take the advice of the people who listen to this podcast and then get a Big Brother tattoo somewhere on your body?
Shh, I'm not really gonna do it. I'm just trying to generate interest in the podcast. God's sake. It's called clickbait.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
You're pimping out your own skin as clickbait.
I tell you what, write into the podcast and you might have the chance to win a multimedia PC and webcam.
I do have two not really very discernible black dots on my knee.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I did think about that. I would like to get a stick and poke, although that's like the wankiest thing in the world, isn't it? It's like people consider that.
A what?
A stick and poke.
What the fuck's a stick and poke?
It's the type, it's like a prison tattoo, isn't it?
What are you getting a prison tattoo for?
Because people do them from home, don't they? A little bit of ink.
Are you going to get a teardrop under your eye?
No, I'm going to get one of those sparrows on my hand.
And each teardrop indicates every Mexican gangster that you've killed.
You know those sparrows on the hand?
Hand sparrows, yeah.
Yeah, what do they symbolize?
The amount of birds that people have killed in the back gardens.
Nick's got so many of those tattoos.
His back looks like a starling murmuration.
So anything, any other observations from this episode, Riggs?
Let me just have a look through my fucking notes here, like. I'll go back to what I was talking about, Caroline drinking 20 cups of tea.
Yeah.
Right, so Craig goes, takes one of them aside into the bedroom, and is like, I can't fucking believe Caroline's drinking, I'm trying to get into Scouse here. Oh, fucking Caroline, fucking hell. Drinking the tea. Oh, fucking hell. Do Scouse for a second. Just say something to Scouse.
Fucking Caroline.
Fucking Caroline. Fucking drinking all the fucking tea. I can't. Fuck it. Whatever. I'll move on.
You are Northern. You should be able to do this.
No, but it doesn't count, does it? It's not. Not everyone's a Scouser up north. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you're closer, so you should be able to do it.
I should have done this bit whilst I was in the fucking zone earlier, absolutely smashing the Scouse. But Craig. Oh, here we are. Craig. So Craig, he was like, come into the bedroom and we're fucking... So Caroline's drinking all the fucking tea. She's drinking 20 cups of fucking tea a day. Oh, in Liverpool, where I'm from, right? We fucking... Every time we make a pot of tea, we leave the tea bags in there for about 3 or 4 weeks and we just keep reusing them. We just keep using them again. We just keep pouring more water in. There's more tea in those bags. She's just throwing away the bags. We need to ration the tea. This is fucking day 8 and Craig's always fucking... I mean, we need to ration the fucking tea. In Liverpool, we've only got one big tea bag that we hang in the middle of the fucking city centre. And we just put a big fucking teapot underneath and everyone from fucking Liverpool, all from the estates and that, they all come down and everyone gets a little fucking mug out and we all drink out of this one fucking teapot which lasts us for a year. It's called the fucking Scouse pot and we all drink it for a whole fucking year. And Caroline's in here drinking fucking 20 cups of tea a day. Where do you stand on tea? Are you a reuser? I'm gonna, that, by the way, that is the end of that scene.
And scene.
Are you like chuck away a teabag immediately, or are you reusing a teabag for an inexplicably scouse amount of time?
Well, these days, now that I've got a full-time job at the moment and stuff, I will just use a teabag once, yeah. I will admit. But there was a time when I would use a teabag twice. I've tried three times, but I find that by then it does get a little bit, it just tastes like shit. But
I think you're a fucking rat. I think you're a fucking rat.
Listen. If you have a teapot,
I just fucking shut right up then. Do you know what I mean? What the fuck's going on? It's a fucking weird power balance in here. I was like, oh, sorry.
I did my dominant voice.
listen.
if you have a teapot and you can get by with one tea bag in there, can't you? You can get a couple of cups out of that. Yeah. So it makes sense.
Yeah, but this.
Do you remember when we were in that cafe last time, me and you? I wanted a teapot. Remember?
Look at you trying to make up any sort of any sort of moment where I would spend any time in a cafe with you.
You did though. What were we doing that day? What did we do after that?
Oh, we had a gig.
Did we have a gig?
Yeah, we were at Marwood's Cafe in Brighton, and then we went to do a gig at Carolina Brunswick.
Yeah, I remember I wanted a teapot, but they didn't have any teapots because Marwood's Cafe is like, it's a bit special, isn't it, Marwood's Cafe?
They were like, we don't have any tea. Caroline from Big Brother One came in here early on. She just fucking absolutely cleaned us out.
They're the kind of place that gives you, they're quirky. So you either get a glass mug, which I don't like, I don't want to see the tea. Or they give you an Easter egg cup.
Yeah, or the server just comes over with just a hands cup.
Yeah.
A little pool of tea in there, which you've got to lap out like you're a fucking house cat.
So I haven't got any teapots. We've got a watering can. Do you want that? Filled with tea.
I used to have one of those teapots, which is like a sink for a single person.
Yeah.
Do you know the ones that's got, they come, it's like a little teapot, and then underneath it is a mug.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I used to have one of those. I used to love that.
You're an expert. You're an absolute tea maverick.
All of this is coming from someone who, not like less than half an hour ago, confessed to drinking fucking a cup of Tetley's decaf tea. And not just a cup, a Pyrex jug of Tetley's decaf tea.
Yeah, that's pretty tragic. Decaf tea is just absolutely disgusting.
I just don't want to fucking look like the fucking Elephant Man. I'm not scared of spiders or death, but I am scared of that.
But I like the Elephant Man. Elephant Man was sweet. Have you seen it?
Yeah. Do you know documentaries about people with tumours on their face?
I've seen them.
Yeah. Well, we had one of those guys. He lived down. He lived near my house.
Yeah, but that's not the Elephant Man, is it, Rex? No. That's a poor man with a tumour on his face. I'm talking about the film, the motion picture, The Elephant Man.
I haven't seen The Elephant Man. I only watch serial programs from the early 2000s.
I cancelled my VPN.
What, already?
Already, yeah.
Why? What happened?
I just feel like there's only so many films that one person needs, you know.
So just as a bit of context,
I was overwhelmed by the choice.
You were so excited that you texted me the words Jeff Dunham 5 times. You're like, Jeff Dunham. And I was like, to be fair, all of the Jeff Dunhams are on fucking UK Netflix and I still haven't watched them.
I was only joking about Jeff Dunham, for God's sake.
No, oh, I'm sure you fucking were by like the fucking 8th one. It was like half an hour of fucking Jeff Dunham text.
US Netflix is better though. There is loads of cool stuff on there.
All right, America's better. We should all have guns, right? Fucking support Donald Trump. I know your fucking rhetoric, mate.
Oh my God, did you see the Donald Trump nude picture that came out today?
No, I want to though. Has he got an egg?
Are you joking?
Has he got an egg-shaped penis as well?
He's got something. Let me send it to you. Hold on. This is live on the podcast. I'm gonna send you, like, there's talk about, oh, is it real, isn't it real? People aren't sure if it's real or not, right?
What is penis or the
the picture? And when you see it, you're gonna instantly think, oh, that's not real. But look at it and just accept that the theme of the picture is something that he would have done. Okay.
Sorry about that. I had to move a large bit of furniture down some stairs.
Your life is just a constant adventure, isn't it?
Yeah, so somebody, we've got this green bureau and a thing. Basically, like, I've got quite a small house, but also loads and loads of children.
Yeah.
So we're just constantly trying to create more space around the house. So basically, like, so we've got this, what a bureau is.
I know what a bureau is, yeah. You mean like a desk that can close?
Yeah, not like the FBI, but like furniture.
Yeah.
We just had to remove the FBI from our house.
Why do they call themselves a bureau? That's my Seinfeld bit for the day.
Someone heard me shouting Ghislaine Maxwell at the top of my voice about fucking 45 minutes ago and sent the FBI around. They just had to quickly sort that out.
I'm just going
to
do a Seinfeld bit now. Bureau of Investigation. Wait, that's my Seinfeld impression. Hold on, let me get Bureau of Investigation. What have they got in there? Foreign coins? What are they investigating? Poseidon?
What's the deal with the FBI? But so we had a woman who, so it's fucking a pain in the ass getting furniture out of my house, right? Because everything's all fucking really close together. You've lived in Brighton, you know what it's like.
Yeah.
But so some fucking woman came round. We gave her the measurements, and she came round to pick it up like about a year ago. And then when we got it, we fucking tried to, and then she was like, oh, it doesn't fit in the boot of me car. But now a new guy's come round to fucking take the bureau away, and now my children will have a space to play.
She's got that gum tree fever. I've had that before. You get.
You want to get yourself down to the fucking dentist, mate? It sounds awful.
No, it's where you get really overly ambitious for free shit. Like, oh, they're giving away an exercise bike. Yeah, I'll walk to Staines.
Oh, my mate, I used to live with a guy called Steve, and he was fucking real. He's real bad for, like, do you know when people leave stuff on the streets?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he just come back and he's like, I've got this headboard.
Good headboard, that.
Solid headboard. I was like, but you've already got fucking four headboards. Stop bringing headboards home.
Did he sell the headboard?
No, he didn't. He just had it in his room. He's just some fucking mad headboard hoarder.
You never be too safe. When you wake up and you slightly knock your head on the wall, don't come crying to me for a headboard, mate.
And my mum said I'll never amount to anything. Look at this. Four headboards.
Who invented the headboard anyway? It's the most useless thing ever. What's the deal with headboard? Is it like a surfboard? I've heard of a skateboard.
Is it... Fuck's sake. Still waiting for this fucking picture of the naked Donald Trump.
I've sent it to you on Twitter.
Oh my god! Oh, mate.
It was released by Anonymous.
He's getting a spray tan. Do people go full naked for spray tans?
Not usually.
By Anonymous. He would have noticed the guy in the corner of that fucking tanning studio dressed like V for Vendetta.
Listen, Anonymous have a very good track record of releasing authentic things, so...
How small is the person doing the tan as well? Was this taken on fucking Epstein's fucking party island?
I think sometimes you do go naked for a spray tan, if you care, if you, but usually it's women who are wearing, like, you know, a bikini, so it's easy, if you go naked, it's easier to get full body coverage. He doesn't seem like a kind of person who's, I don't know, I can't imagine that he's particularly ashamed of his body, but I doubt he wants to have it out there like that. He is a serving president.
Was this posted on Donald Trump's personal Twitter? Was it like, just got my spray tan?
Yeah, it's actually a day old, that photo, yeah.
Day two of hanging out with Kim Jong-un.
But honestly, if it is real, who took that photo?
I don't know.
Epstein.
There's some fucking tiny penis man who just is a spitting image of Donald Trump and likes nothing more than getting a spray tan, who's now just been made internet famous.
You know Epstein, his head is fucking massive, isn't it?
Why are you looking up pictures of Epstein?
Yeah.
We're supposed to be doing a Big Brother podcast.
I don't know much about Photoshop, but I think this picture looks pretty real.
Yeah, I'm happy to believe it. Just why not?
But then again, they can do like deep fakes on videos now, so it's very easy to mock up a photograph. Have you seen that? You know, there's that artist, and she did those
Yeah, the one. Yeah, I know which one you mean.
Yeah, she had a. There was like a show. There was like a TV show of it for a while, where it was like celebrities doing things that you wouldn't expect them to be doing. Oh, did you know they're bringing back Spitting Image?
Is this since Avid and Merriam fucking apologized for all the Bo Selector characters? They were like, Spitting Image was like, Ah, Beau Selector's finally fallen.
How are you going to make Avid Marion apologise and not make
David Walliams
and Matt Lucas apologise? How are you going to do that?
He's written too many children's books now. He's surpassed it.
What's your opinion on Beau Selector?
Because it's
from the same time period as Big Brother.
I only remember one bit that I think about all the time. I think some of the characters are great, right? The Marilyn Manson's obviously. There's a bit, do you know...
Marilyn Manson one is class, yeah.
One bit of Beau Selector that's always stuck with me is there's a bit where Craig David's in his front room with Kez, and he's like,
yeah.
And he's like, oh, my single didn't make the top 10. How could this day get any worse? Oh no, I've pissed myself.
He always pissed himself. That was the joke.
I know, but I just found it funny. All right.
Did you know that Beau Selector ruined his life?
Yeah, that's what he said. But like, he's fucking freestyle rapping on fucking Charmaine the God Show. Do you know what I mean? He's fucking fine. Charlemagne, not Charmaine.
Is there really? Does Craig David do a freestyle rap on Charlemagne the God?
I don't know if he does it on Charlemagne, but he certainly does it on one of them radio shows.
I want to see that. Has he got good bars?
Yeah, mate. He's fucking solid.
But yeah, but I've only really heard him like soulfully doing like garage R&B.
Yeah, no, Craig David had a big comeback like a couple of years ago.
I didn't see it. And I've got my finger on the pulse. How did that slip me by?
Yeah, and after he does the freestyle, he just pisses himself.
Does he? Yeah. I suppose we should get back to talking about Big Brother, though.
Well, Craig David wouldn't let Nick anyway, because Nick's not very fond of fucking birds, is he?
He's not.
Little Kez would get it, wouldn't he?
Are you sad to see your bureau de change gone?
No, absolutely not, no.
Why?
Because I never use... Look.
You seem like the kind of man who would have a bureau.
For all my thoughts, all my correspondence. This is my correspondence.
I would love a writing desk. I really want a desk.
Yeah, we'll get a fucking desk then.
Well, I've got nowhere to put it.
Instead of getting a prison tattoo, use that money to get yourself a desk.
Yeah, but I've got nowhere to put it.
Well, make a space for it. Where are you now? Put it there.
I'm sitting on my bed.
Put a desk on it.
I'm not putting a desk on my bed, am I?
Well, get one of those.
Oh, actually, I would love one of those beds, one of those bunk beds, where like instead of having the bottom bunk, you have like a desk.
My son has got one of those, and he doesn't.
Lucky.
He doesn't like it.
Ungrateful.
That's what I said.
Oh, that annoys me. I want one of them.
I would have look how annoyed you are with my child.
Tell him I am very unhappy with him.
I will.
Well, what does he want? He wants another bed.
Well, I don't know. He just can't be asked climbing up and down a ladder every day.
What? That's like the most fun thing ever. You get to sleep at a higher altitude. That is fun.
I always wanted one with a slide.
Have you ever been on a toboggan?
Yes.
I have as well.
Yeah, we used to make them out of for sale signs.
No, I don't mean like that kind of toboggan. I mean like a dry toboggan. Like, there's one in the Isle of Wight that's really good.
That sounds so... Would you like to take a ride on my dry toboggan? Hey, type dry toboggan into the Urban Dictionary. Can you do that now?
I'm going to type it now, yeah. Dry.
Before you type it, what do you think it might be? Dry toboggan. It's got to be no lubricant. No lubricant straight up the ass. A dry toboggan. That's what I think it is.
If it's not on there, let's add it. I've never added anything to Urban Dictionary. So there's no dry toboggan, but there's a hell of a lot of other toboggans.
Go on, give me your top three toboggans.
Okay, let's do top three toboggans.
And normally people say don't try this at home, but I'm like, try it, man. Try a couple of these toboggans out at home and write into us and let us know how they went.
Right, this is the top three toboggans. Toboggan noggin. Receiving oral sex while riding a toboggan.
What, is the other person on the toboggan or is it just really quick?
Yeah, it's just doing it on a toboggan.
Okay.
They all follow this theme, actually. The toboggan donkey punch. Same definition as donkey punch, with the exception that it's performed on a toboggan.
This is bullshit, man. Do you know what I mean? Anything could be on a toboggan. Look, it's missionary toboggan. It's just normal fucking, but on a toboggan.
Well, look, we need one more toboggan.
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 It's a fun word to say, isn't it? Toboggan. Toboggan run. When a dog with an itchy ring piece sits upright on a rough carpet and pulls itself along with just its front legs. Check it out. I can't read. I can't read. I've forgotten how to read.
I think you've said the word toboggan too many fucking times.
But anyway, the point of what I was saying was What was I saying? I don't know. How did I get onto that?
What you were saying was, is later on, because I've not got a desk, but I've got all this space for a desk, I want to try out all the different toboggans that you can do on from the Urban Dictionary. That's what you were saying.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I'm done, I think.
Thanks for listening to episode 2 of Who Is She?
Who is she?
Who is she?
You're getting there. You'll get it eventually.
With comedians Riggs and Jen Ives. Thanks for tuning in. If you're a Big Brother fan, get in touch with us. Tell us about who your favourite Big Brother character is. Tell us about all the different toboggans that you might have tried at home. Tell us what you think of Donald Trump's penis.
We encourage you to watch along with us. It will make it more fun. It will feel like we're your friends, except we're never going to meet you because, well, you're scum, aren't you? We're not going to meet you. But
I'll put a link for the next episode to watch so you can keep caught up in the description of this episode. Can you explain that a bit better than I just explained it?
Yeah, Riggs is going to post a link to the next episode so you can watch along with us and be ready for the new one.
Yeah, but the next episode of Big Brother, not the next episode of the podcast.
Yeah. Riggs, can you explain that a bit better than I did for me? All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Be good.